And for today, I prepared not these things today. I have here, it was recently published, this fantastic sefer called Golus Ugeula by, the name of the Mechaber is, I don't know who the Mechaber is, David Rusoff. Anyone know who he is? Rav David Rusoff, someone in Yeshiva, he knows who he is, he told me all of his svarim, he holds the world of him. This is a phenomenal sefer. It's a collection of, I would say, idios, a collection of, it's a likut of ideas, ma'aseif, of ideas relating to the Dein Hamitzar, to Golos, to Achris Hayomim, to various things about the Beis Hamikdash, many, many, many different topics. So today I went through part of the sefer. I would like to share with you some things which I found interesting. I want to focus on the ideas relating to Achris Hayom, times of Mashiach. Seeing that we're in the Bein HaMitzarim, we spent already 2 weeks on the Churban parts. So let's learn a little bit about things relating to the good times, the Achris Hayomim. I just went through it very, very quickly, and there are certain things which just I found interesting. They were new to me, and I want to share them with you. Nothing is like any major big chidushim, just some small things, depending on how much time we have. We'll run through a few things. The first thing I found very interesting, this you have to develop, is a chemel l'drush, something to tell you they're raw ideas. They require your own development. This term, acharis hayamim. The first time it appears in the Torah is Yaakov, and Yaakov Avinu, he told the children, he also, like, gilchem eish, and yikolchem eish, and yikolchem the acharis hayamim. That expression appears in the Torah 13 times. Very interesting. 13 times. 13 is a very interesting number. The Yud Gimel, the Sarachanim. There are Yud Gimel from the Rambam, principles of faith. And it's something that requires further iyun to understand, to look at those 13 times in the Torah where it says, in Tanakh, where it says, Achris Hayamim, and perhaps in those 13 different psukim, you get a flavor of what Achris, the end of days, is all about.
No.
I mean, same concept. The question is, what does it mean? Now, notice he has over here, he has a whole couple of chapters, and first he learns how to chart. Now, the Rambam, we all know the Rambam says that you should not spend your time delving into what's going to happen at the end of days, because no one knows what is going to happen, so it's not important. The person should live his life by emunah pshuta, and whatever will be, will be. But yet, when you learn Tanakh, you learn Chazal, there are certain things which are yisodos, which we have to know. We don't have to know exactly how they will play out, but I think it's important to know the basic events that will occur at some point in time, how they will occur, and in what order they will occur, that we do not know. But let me just go over with you some of the basic events that are discussed in Tanakh and Chazal. First thing we have is Golos Yishma. We learned about Dal Malchios, where Bavel, and then comes Parasimodai, and then Yavon, and then the one who destroyed the Bayis, Sheni Edom. We are now in Golos Edom. Part of Golos Edom is Golos Yishma. In Chazal, the end of Golos Edom is a period of what is called Golos Yishmael. We spoke about this, it's included in Golos Edom. Obviously now we can sense that there is something called Golos Yishmael. Then will come a period called the Chevlei Moshiach, the birth pangs of Moshiach, difficult times for Klal Yisrael. Then comes a period called Moshiach Ben Yosef. There are two anointed ones, Moshiachim. Moshiach Ben Yosef, a descendant of Yosef, and Moshiach Ben David. Before the Moshiach Ben David will come an individual Moshiach Ben Yosef. After Moshiach Ben Yosef, there will be a war, Melchemes Goig Umagoig. And then there's a period called Beirurim. And what does that mean? Beirurim means selection. I don't know what that means exactly. Is where there's going to be a separation among Klal Yisrael. The Erev Rav will be removed. There are segments of Klal Yisrael which are trouble. which need cleansing, which need tikkun, the chas v'sham. Whatever this means, but that comes after the period of Goy Gumog. Then comes the period of Mashiach ben David. That's the Melech HaMashiach. That's Malchus. Then will come the Bayis Shlishi. Then comes Kibbutz Golios. So simply according to Moslem Mepharshim, the Kibbutz Golios will occur after the building of the Bayis Shlishi. And after that will come Tchiyas HaMesim. And then comes the period called Olam Haba. Now, all of these things, of course, are very abstract, very vague, but these are just, these steps are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps are just things that you should be aware of when you go through Tanakh and Chazal. There are different tkufas. Yishmael, Chavle Mashiach, which is an earlier state. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mechamis Gagumagog, Beirudim, Mashiach ben David, Beisem Neshlishti, Kibbutz Golios, Tchis HaMesim, Olam Haba. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it is. It's a long, long process.
Okay. How long each day?
No. That
we
know. Okay, now we come to another idea which he develops at a great length called the idea of Be'ita Achishan. This is something which gives long drashas. There are two different times for the coming of Mashiach. There is a time Be'ita, in its set time, and there is Achishena, the early time. Hashem will hasten the Geula come before its time. This is based on a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah, it says, no, I'm sorry, Yeshaya, it's in the 9th Zechariah, Yeshaya, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, Le'olam Yirshu Eretz, Hakoton, the small one, Yihiyel Le'elef, will be at this point in time when Mashiach comes for 1,000, will expand into 1,000. It doesn't say 1,000, what? 1,000 people, 1,000 families. Vehatsoir legoy otsum into a mighty nation. Ani Hashem, it is I am Hashem, be'ita, in its time, achishena, I will hasten the geula. From this Chazal learned there are two times of geula, this time be'ita. Now, if you take the pasuk in its most simplest form, it's one expression. Be'ita, in its time, I will hasten the geula. There's no drush, it's just the time will come when the geula will come. And when that time will come, then we read the pasuk backwards, my nation will be tzadikim, and the katan will be le'elef, and the tzohar will be le'goy otzon. Chazal stepped in, and they explained that these two words are really to be broken up into two parts. There's a time called Ita and a time called Achishena, a set time and a time that we're going to come early. Now the Chazal goes a step further and they take note that in Tanakh, Mashiach is described in two different locations, one in Sefer Daniel and the other in Sefer Zechariah. In Sefer Daniel, the way Mashiach is described is Va'aru, it's in Aramaic, Va'aru im anone shemaya kvar enosh ose, which means that the Melech HaMashiach will arrive on clouds, anone shemaya, will arrive swiftly on the clouds of heaven. A man will come, va'aru, and I saw, im anone shemaya, I saw with the clouds of heaven, kvar enosh ose, then the man has arrived. That's how Mashiach is described in Sefer Daniel. In Sefer Zechariah, it's described, Ani v'roichei v'alachamar, an Ani, a poor man, riding on a donkey. And Rashi there says, Ka'ani haba al chamaroi be'atzlus. Lazy. Like a poor man, and we don't normally hear that Rashi. You always hear that expression, Ani, that's riding on a donkey. But Rashi explains, like an Ani, like a poor man riding on a donkey, lazy. So the Mepharshim explain that these two expressions are contradictory. On the one hand, it's called that kvar on clouds. Clouds go very quickly. Before you turn around, the clouds are on the other side, they're gone. And from the pasuk kvar in the shasta, the min has already come. Clouds is an expression where Mashiach comes very quickly. There's a person riding on a cloud, which means coming out of the sky on a jet. He's here. On the other hand, guy is coming on a donkey, a poor man, a lazy guy is riding on a donkey. Contradictions. Mashiach is going to come on a Concorde, They are commissioned the Concorde, right? When it's coming on the Concorde, or is it coming on a lazy donkey and lazy? So the answer is, that's the difference. If it's Be'ita, then it's going to be an Oni V'roichev Ala Chamar Be'atzlos. If we have to wait to the end of days, which we don't really know what that means, we say 6,000, but we don't even know what 6,000 really means. But if we're going to wait until the end of days, then it's going to be Oni V'roichev Achamar Be'atzlos. If it's going to come Achishena, that's the Pasuk in Daniel, it'll be swift. It'll be like a man on a cloud coming out of the sky very quickly. Yeah?
A cloud you cannot control.
Yeah?
A donkey, you're in charge.
Okay, that's an idea. There's something to develop. That's an excellent point. I just want to say a little bit of a drush, a small drush. People ask, what's the difference? What's the difference if Mashiach comes now, Mashiach comes later? Okay, obviously, obviously for us, we suffer. We don't even realize what we're missing. We have no clue. I think most of us are afraid of Mashiach coming. It will disturb our equilibrium. Right? We don't you're afraid of the unknowns. We know what we have. So we imagine if things will be a little better, the economy will be a little better, make a few more dollars. If the prices in the store go down a little bit, like we'll have a klein hasagas of what we would like in life. We have no clue of what it would be like when Mashiach will be and the Hashras Hashem Beis HaMikdash. We're afraid of the unknowns. But, okay, so we suffer. We don't know. But many of us think, but forget about us, the individual, this generation. As far as the world is, the big picture, is there really a big difference in the big picture of things for the goal that Klal Yisrael will achieve if Mashiach comes now, or if Mashiach comes in 20 years from now? Is there really a difference? So if you look at the pasuk very carefully, it appears there's a very big difference. The pasuk begins by telling us, the Amech Kulam Sadiqim, Li'olam Yeshu Aretz, they will inherit the land forever. And then it goes on to tell us how many people will occupy the land. It tells us, HaKoton, the small one, Yihyeh Le'elef. A person today who's just a little guy, a Koton, he will become 1,000. 1,000 families, 1,000 people, whatever it means. But the Hatzo'ir, the one that is the young, Yitzor is similar to the word Koton, he will be Legoy Otsum, a mighty nation. Mighty nation is a lot more than 1,000. It's a lot more, it's in numbers it's much more, and in complexity it's much more. Legoy Otsum. And then it says, Ani Hashem Be'ita Achishena. Chazal broke up the two words Be'ita Achishena to refer to two different points of Gula. That gives us the right to suggest that when it says Be'ita, Ita goes back on the words Koton Yihyeh Le'elef. And when it says Achishena, it refers to Tso'ir Lugoy Otsum. So that means as follows. If Mashiach comes Be'ita, at the very, very end, we've lost opportunities. We lost opportunities. We now come to Eretz Yisrael. There's only that much more we could accomplish. A Koton will be Elef. That's amazing. But if Mashiach will come Achishena, will come before its time, then the opportunities and the ability to grow and develop and potential for Kedusha will be that much greater. It will be Begeder, the Tso'ir, the small one, will be Legoy Otzon. Since Chazal here are breaking on this drush, but you have to understand that there is a very great advantage in Achishena. If Mashiach comes earlier, that means we have more time until the end. I don't know what the end is. I don't know.
Once Mashiach comes, that is a concept of end.
Not necessarily. It appears. Okay, I don't know. We don't know anything. But it appears is that there is some type of end at some fixed point in time. And if Mashiach comes earlier, there's a much greater span of time to the fixed end, to the time that Mashiach comes. If Mashiach comes Be'ita, then that amount of time to that very fixed end of whatever that means, and the time that Mashiach comes is much smaller. If that window is smaller, there's less opportunity there's less time to develop, to accomplish, to do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want to be achieved, yeah?
But Be'it Tov,
yeah,
means that it's the time when we have merited Mashiach.
No, we're not saying that. We're saying that Be'it Tov means we don't merit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring it for His own sake. If we do not merit, and we do not bring the Gula in our Zechuyos, and Hashem brings it at the end of days, so then therefore Mashiach is here, and then there's a fixed end, whatever that means, no one knows what that means, but the amount of time between the time of Mashiach and that very, very end is a very small period of time. But if we merit to bring Mashiach earlier, then that window between the time the Mashiach comes and the end is much larger. That fits perfectly with this pasuk. If it comes be'ita, that's the first part of this. There's always parallels in the pasuk, as we learn in Tanakh, learn in Yeshayah. There's always parallels. Be'ita achishena. The beginning of the pasuk says the koton yihye le'elef. That corresponds to be'ita. Very good. The small one will be multiplied by 1,000. Beautiful. But if we merit the zechus of bringing Mashiach achishena, to bring Mashiach before its time, that means that the window of opportunity from the time that Mashiach has come until Olam Haba, whatever that very, very end, is much, much wider. It's much greater. If it's much greater, think how much more you could accomplish. A person lives 120, can accomplish a lot more than a person only lives for 30 years. So then, it's in a darga of Hatsoir Yihye Legoy Otsun. Not just multiply by 1,000. It's Legoy Otsun. Okay, now I want to tell you a very beautiful idea from the Dubna Magid. Dubna is a very... I'm going to tell it to you not exactly the way it says it, the way my adaptation of what the Dubna Magid says. Let's ask a very simple question. What do? We're always being mispalel, Mashiach shall come, Mashiach shall come. We have a precedent for this. The precedent for Mashiach coming early, Gula coming early, happened in Mitzrayim. We were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. By the Bris Ben Avsarim, Ger Yeh Zarecha, B'Yeretz Lo Elohem, V'Avodim, V'Ilui Oysom, Arba Me'o Shana. 400 years. That was the plan. We were supposed to really be there. How long were we there for? For 210 years. So the Ita, the set time was 400, and we had Achishena. We hastened the Geula. We left after 210 years. Was it for our benefit? No, it wasn't. The only reason why we left early, Chazal tell us, is because if we would have stayed there one more moment, we would have sunk to the 50th level of Tumah. We would have been so far gone, we would not have merited Gula. We would never would have been a Mashiach. So Hashem said, I have no choice. There has to be a Achishena. I have to hasten the Gula. After 210 years, you're going to leave 190 years early, but you're going to pay a heavy price. And the heavy price you're going to pay for coming out of Egypt 190 years early is, it's not going to be the Gula Shleim. You'll leave Mitzrayim, Nisim Niflos, Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael, but there'll be a Chorban, Chorban Rishon, a Chorban Sheni. You'll be in Golis for 2,000 years. It was not the Geula. We would not refine. We did not accomplish the refinement that was necessary in the Kur HaBarzel of Mitzrayim to merit the Geula Shlema. It was premature. So we have to suffer very, very much through the Golus because we came out early. Right? That's Poshet. So what do we see from that? That's what it says. A lot of this is Poshet. It says it's what?
There are many scholars that say why was it 210? Because of the wrapping of the Golus from
These all answers because this is accepted. This mahalach. Ayin panim mutara. But this is accept. This is very much accepted now. So what do we take out of this? What do we extract out of this? It's not a good thing because if you're not ready, ultimately you're not going to be prepared. you have to be, go through a process. A person has to mature naturally. You all know, you take a kid, and oh, he's a genius, and you go and you skip, right? And so he should really be in third grade, and you put him in eighth grade. Is it really so good? Not so good. His mind, but he's not mature. Later in life, you look back, it wasn't necessarily such a good thing to go and do this to the kid, to put him in eighth grade when he should be in fifth grade. Not so pashut. So why are we in such a rush? Why are we in such a rush? Achakelo b'chol yom sheyava. There's an ita. There's a set time. Going through galus is a process. It's a very unpleasant, very painful, terrible tzaras. But, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, we have a precedent. It's not necessarily so good to go to an achishan. So why are we rushing? So the Dubna Magid gives an incredible mashal. This is awesome. The mashal he gives. Mashal ma'adavadayim. A person, unless he's in a hotel. And the hotel serves lunch 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, the doors are open. They bring out, you know what it's like. They bring out the good stuff. Okay? Ein ledar v'sof, there's a buffet where they serve you. Everything you can possibly want is there. A guy's in the hotel. He has to go to a business meeting. He has to be somewhere at 1 o'clock. He's not going to be available. He's not going to be there at the time when they open the doors to serve the food. So he goes, 11:30, he knocks on the door and says, Shuldix, at 1 o'clock, I have to be at the meeting. I have to leave at 12:15. I want to eat now. So they say, sorry, the food's not ready. We serve lunch at 1 o'clock. We don't serve lunch at 11:45. I'm sorry, get lost. Nothing to talk about. And he makes a scene. And he insists, I pay so much for this hotel, and I'm entitled to my lunch just because I have to go away at 1 o'clock. It's not fair. I want to have my lunch now. He makes such a scene. So the manager says, just give him the food. Get him out of here. He's ruining business. So the cook says, well, the food's not ready. So rush it up. Rush it up. Get the food ready for this mishugan before he ruins our business. So the cook, they rush. 12 o'clock. They serve him his meal. He sits down to the meal. He eats the meal. He says, you know, it doesn't taste so good. When I was here last year, it tasted better. It's good. It's okay. But just not... Well, it's not fully cooked. What do you want from us? What do you want from us? You forced this upon us. It's your fault. Okay. Fine. Next year, he comes back to the hotel, a year later, and he's there, and he's enjoying his day, and lunch is scheduled for 1 o'clock. All of a sudden, there's a message on the microphone, on the loudspeaker system. Today, lunch will be served at 12 o'clock. It seems like there's some emergency in the kitchen, or they're doing some construction, and they're getting a delivery, and they have to be finished an hour earlier. So they're serving today lunch at 12 o'clock and not 1 o'clock. And if you come 1 o'clock, there's no lunch for you. You have to come 12 o'clock. So he comes 1 o'clock. He comes an hour early to eat his lunch. He sits down. It's delicious. Ah, delicious. Never, just as good as it ever was. So he goes to the cook and he says, cook, I don't understand. Last year, I had to eat one. It was supposed to be 12 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, and you served it at 12 o'clock, and it didn't taste so good. This year, it says on the main schedule, lunch will be served at 1 o'clock, and I come 12 o'clock, and it's delicious. What's the difference? So the cook says, difference is, last year, you forced me to hasten the geula. You forced me to rush it up. When you forced me to rush, I wasn't ready. I had no choice. I had to rush up. It wasn't fully cooked. But this time, this year, we knew in advance there was an issue, and we, on our own, we accelerated the process so that it should be ready for everyone. So the Dov Magid says, that's the chilek between the achishena of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Achishena, a full merit of Bezman Hazeh. The Achishena of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Hashem has lunch prepared at 400 years, at 1 o'clock. We were in a rush. Why? Because if we stay there for one more minute, we would have sunk to such a low, we would not have been worthy of redemption, period. So we forced it upon Hashem. Hashem wasn't ready for us. We forced it upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it didn't taste so good. It wasn't a gula shlema. That's why we have to suffer galus, 2,000 years of galus. But when we're dealing with the achishena and the bi'ita, bizman hazeh, if we do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare the lunch an hour earlier. The process will begin earlier and it will be a full lunch. It will be fully prepared for us at 12 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock. So this is the way the Magen explains this beautiful chilek between... The Dubna Magid, this beautiful chilek between these two. Now, by the way, I just want to point out that these are some short things. There's something interesting of Ita. We think about the Ita Achishena can be a difference of... Let me jump to something else. When is the beginning, the first time of Achishena? This is a very interesting thing. When is the earliest time that Mashiach can come before its time? In other words, why did the Mashiach come for David HaMelech? Why did Mashiach come for during the time of the kings, all the earlier kings during the time when during the entire Tekufa of the Nevi'im?
Will you tell us why Chizkiyahu?
It's a very interesting thing, right? So that's what he brings down here from the far. He brings down the first time we find the concept of Achishena was Chizkiyahu. In other words, there's Be'ita. Ita means Mashiach has to come, and that's the latest time possible. Then there's Achishena. Achishena means it can come early. But just because it can come early, you can't have lunch at 9 o'clock in the morning. The set time for lunch is 1 o'clock. Achishena, the earliest you can possibly have lunch is 11:45. It's not Shaykh. David HaMelech and the Tekufa of the early Nevi'im, the Nevi'im Rishonim, and the early part of the Bayis Rishon was before 11:45. It's not yet Shaykh that there can be Achishena. The earliest time we find in Chazal of Achishena is Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was already more than halfway through the Tekufa of the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon was, Chizkiyahu was over about 200 years into the time of the Bayis Rishon. That was the earliest time it was Shaykh Achishena. And that is why Chazal is so critical of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu now was the Tekufa, Sancheriv, the miracle. You could have sung Shira, you could have merited the great miracle. That is the time of Achishena. Now, what I want to do with this, let's go a step further. This is a fascinating point. A lot of people ask, this is a little Kabbalah. I don't mean Kabbalah, I mean it's a little bit off the beaten path. But many people ask, why do we have so many kinos to focus on the first crusade? Right, we have Yom Tisha B'Av is coming up soon. We mourn primarily for the Chum Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us five things happen on Tisha B'Av. First of all, it was decreed upon Klal Yisrael they would not enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim returned on that day, and they issued a slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael. Vayifku Shabbalaylahu, and Klal Yisrael cried, and in punishment for crying that night, Avachiyah Shalchinah HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us for the crying for Doris. It was decreed upon the Dor HaMidbar they would not enter Eretz Yisrael on the night of Tisha B'Av. Number two, the Bayis Rishon was Charif. Number three, the Bayis Sheni was Charif. Number four, Beitar was Charif. And number five, Necher Shohi'ir, the city was plowed over. Five things happened. That's why we follow. Those are the five things that are given in the Gemara. But we know from Chazal that Tisha B'Av is a day where we mourn over all Jewish tragedy, all Jewish suffering. We have Shalis Shufa Ba'esh, the Sheva Satalmud. We mourn over the First Crusade. We mourn over the Holocaust. Tach v'tat, Inquisition, expulsions, so on and so forth. It's a day, it's brought down many Mar Chazal, Tishbev is a day that we commemorate all Jewish suffering, all Jewish tragedy. Fine, okay. But why do we focus so much on the First Crusade, 1096? There are four kinos devoted to the Churban, to the horror of what happened in 1096, the First Crusade. How many Jews died in the First Crusade in total? About 5,000. 5,000 were killed, commit suicide, killed each other in this Tkufa. In the Middle Ages, there were horrors, massacres, expulsions, terrible things, and the numbers, some of the massacres were a lot more. So why give, and we don't have anything in the kinos, we don't focus on those things. Why do we focus so much on the First Crusade? And there are different answers. There are many mahalchim. But one mahalchim, so what do you say? Eschal de Paranusa, very good. Where'd you hear that, by the way? It's very interesting. Where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that idea, the First Crusade?
We said it talking about
the one we met
Sarbat
Davis. Right. So why would the First Crusade be Eschal de Paranusa? There was already, 1096 was already 1,000 years. 1096 is already 1,000 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. During those 1,000 years, we have on record terrible things, terrible pogroms and sorrows that happened. So that's not necessarily Aschal de Piranusa. So one approach is that the First Crusade was the first time there was mob violence with the participation, encouragement, tolerance of government and the church. That was unprecedented. Large-scale mob violence with the government involved, this was a new thing that never happened. It was a new tkufa, it was a new precedent, and all of the tsars, the massacres and terrible things that happened throughout the Middle Ages and later on, even all the way into the Holocaust, all had its roots in what happened during the First Crusade. Aschal de Paranusa,
almost like the Marshal of Amalek.
They were the first ones, right? It was a new tkufa. That's one approach why it's so important, because all of the tsars that followed are rooted in the precedent in that time period. It has to be studied in very great detail. And why is, let's take a step, why is called Aschalta, why is Aschalta de Panusa so important? Because of the Gemara Masech the Tainis. The Gemara Masech the Tainis tells us that Rabbi Yochanan said, if it was up to me, I would commemorate Tisha B'Av on the 10th day of Av, not the 9th, because it was on the 10th day of Av which the Beis HaMikdash burnt. Most of the Mikdash burnt on day 10, not on day 9. The Rabbanon, why do they tell us to mourn on the 9th day? Aschalta de Paranusa. That's when the Midrash began to burn. Therefore, Tisha B'Av, we commemorate all the Jewish suffering without exception, but we emphasize Aschalta de Paranusa. That's why we mourn on the 9th of the Chomei Samigdash, and that is why the First Crusade is so important, because the First Crusade marked after 1,000 years of Golus. The Churban took place in the year 70. The First Crusade took place in the year 1096, a little bit over 1,000 years. It's true, there were terrible horrors, massacres, and suffering that took place during these 1,000 years, but not in the category of large-scale mob violence directed against Klal Yisrael with the participation and encouragement of government and church. That did not happen. And that set a precedent, and that's Aschal de Paranusa. That's one approach. And by the Derech Agav, Kristallnacht. We focus very much on the Holocaust. It's not shaykh to go to an Asifa on Tisha B'Av and not hear about the Holocaust. The Holocaust is one of the major issues of Tisha B'Av for us. What is important about the Holocaust in reference to this idea of Aschal de Paranusa? Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht, most historians agree. They agree that Kristallnacht was the beginning of the Holocaust. And it's amazing. You study, there are striking similarities between the First Crusade and Kristallnacht. Both the First Crusade and Kristallnacht, it was mob violence with the encouragement of the government, the Nazi party, all wrapped up, but they make believe they didn't know what was going on. And it set a new tone, it created a precedent of a Jewish hefker. He's hefker. Anyone who wants can come, can loot his his business, his family, they did a test run of what it meant to round up Jews for concentration camps. 30,000 Jews were rounded up right afterwards to the first concentration camp, and 1,000 were killed that day. Aschalto de Paranus. Okay, now, that's really not the point I wanted to make. The point I wanted to make is there is a tradition. I'm talking about Be'ita Achishem. It's a whole different approach to understand the First Crusade. There's Be'ita and Achishem. There's the time when Mashiach can come, the end of days, whatever that means. If we merit, if we do tshuva, Achishem, Hashem will hasten the Geula. There's a tradition. The Chida quotes this tradition. The Chida has a very simple question. Why did Mashiach come during the time of the Tannaim and Amoraim? The Bayis was Scharav. Beta was Scharav. Asaru Gimalchus. They were killed. Okay. Now we go into a period of time of the Tannaim. Amoraim. The Goinim. The Goinim. Rabbanim Savaroi. The Goinim. We're dealing here with major, major league. Talmidei Chachamim, Kedusha Tahara, they were tkufas of greatness. Why didn't Mashiach come during that tkufa of all of 1,000 years? It was 1,000 years of Tannaim, Amoraim, Rabbanim Savaroi, the Goinim. What happened? Mashiach didn't come? So he says there was a tradition, unbelievable, awesome chiddush from the Chida, that because of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the clock has been reset. Mashiach, the first moment of Achishena, could have been Chizkiyahu. Couldn't come for David. Too early. It couldn't come for the Nevi'im Rishonim. Too early. No, not the Nevi'im Rishonim. David, Chizkiyahu, oh, it's 11:45. Lunch is served at 1 o'clock. It's 11:45. If you want, we can have lunch ready at 11:45 for you. Achishena. Chizkiyahu, you messed up. You didn't take advantage. All right, the bias was Chorav. Golus, they built a bias Sheni, 420 years. Churban, Sinaschinam. Sinaschinam? Bias Sheni Chorav? Okay, start again. There has to be Golus. And then after Golus, when you get Golus, there's going to be Golus. And then there's two times. Ita Achishena. 1 o'clock will be lunch. If you want, we can have it ready at 11:45. When is 11:45? 11:45 is 1,000 years. It's a pasuk in the Eicha. Pasuk in Eicha, the first parak. Remember this pasuk. Nisonani shoymeima. Hashem made me desolate. Kol hayom. The entire day dova. I'm in a state of pain. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How long is a day? A day is 1,000 years. We have the Psukim and Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 1,000 years is one day. Kol Hayom Dova. There has to be Golus for at least 1,000 years. That means basically until the year, I don't know the exact days, but basically until the year 1,070, it's not Shaykh for Mashiach to come. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, the clock has been reset, there must be Golus for at least 1,000 years. In other words, it's not 11:45 until 1,000 years pass.
That's Pesach.
What?
That's Pesach.
What do you mean?
That's
Pesach. 1,000 years from when?
From the Churban Bayis Sheni.
Okay, and that was when?
That was 1070.
So we're up to 20s.
I know, but that's 10, so that means there had to be a... What was our question? Why did the Geula come for the Tannaim, the Amoraim, the Goinim, and the Rabbanim Savaroi? Why did it come the first 1,000 years? 1096 was the Rishonim. That was already the Rishonim. That was Rashi. Rashi was 56 years old during the First Crusade. Ram wasn't born yet. The Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was 16 years old. Rashi was... What? Why didn't the Geula come? Because the Pasuk, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Sinaschinam, there has to be Golus for 1,000 years. Then, we now have two times, Achishena or Be'ita. But if Klal Yisrael wanted, already Mashiach can come when? Mashiach already can come in the year 1070, approximately. Because it's now 1,000 years. The First Crusade, there were many tragedies that happened the first 1,000 years. But we don't commemorate them on Tisha B'Av. We don't commemorate. We commemorate them. We do commemorate them. But we don't focus on them. Because the first crusade was the first major tragedy the first tragedy in the Tkufa of it didn't have to happen. If we would have merited, Mashiach could have come already. It's a much greater tragedy. Tragedies that happened during the first 1,000 years, it's tragic. It's a horror. But that was Golos. That's all Nichlal in the Golos of the Churban Bayis Rishon Sheni. Once you get to 1070, it's over. Golos is over. Mashiach should come. At Zman already Achishena. It's not 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is 6,000 years, whatever that is. But we have already entered the Zman of Achishena. Achishena? So bring Mashiach. 1096, the first crusade, a major tragedy. The Rishonim, they were killed. A higher of 5,000 people. That didn't have to happen. Mashiach could have come already by then. That's why it's much more painful. There's a much greater emphasis on that tragedy. It was the first in this period of time. Okay, so this is an idea, a few ideas relating to Ital Achishon. Okay, we'll stop here.